Welcome to On Tap with Corey and Ira, where they discuss Southern Minnesota breweries and beer. Here's your host, Corey Butler and Ira Carlson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 40 of On Tap with Corey and Ira. I am Corey Butler.
And I'm Ira Carlson.
And we are your bi-weekly show covering Southern Minnesota beers and breweries. Occasionally we go outside of that region. Obviously our show 2 weeks ago brought us to the North Shore, to Duluth, for the All Pints North Beer Festival, which I think we can safely say we had a good time, and everyone we interacted with probably had a pretty good time. So, and we're following that up with another festival, and Ira is going to clue you in on that one and what else is coming up on today's show.
Yeah, as we're recording this, we're getting ready to take the little trek down to Rochester for the Kegs and Barrel Festival. We're looking forward to going back down there. It's our second time down at the festival. Get a chance to go down and hang out with the people at LTS Brewing, Grand Rounds Brewing, Kinney Creek, and of course, Four Daughters Winery. So it's going to be kind of an interesting discussion. We'll see what their theme is this time around. Last time it was grapes, so it's going to be kind of fun to see what they come up with there. Of course, it goes to benefit one of the local pet shelters, so of course there'll be a couple pooches running around that you can check out and all the rest of that stuff.
Paws and claws, I believe, still.
I believe so, yeah. And so it's going to be a very fun time. We're looking forward to getting down there. And of course, before that, though, we've got some beers of the week brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor. And then we're going to be having Andrews in to talk style of the week. This week it's a Brett IPA. That's going to be an interesting one for those of you that are unaware of it. But all in all, we got a big show coming up.
Yeah, as you said, it's a second annual Kegs and Barrels Festival, so I know we're going to have a good time. We'll report back at the end of the show. I think we're going to record that afterward. We talked about on the last show, really kind of a cool event, hosted at the LTS Brewing site in Rochester. So we appreciate those folks having us back for the second annual event. Hopefully there's a third annual, and we play a part in that and help get the word out. So I think it should be a good crowd today. The weather's looking pretty good, so we'll find out once we get into those interviews. We appreciate you tuning in. If you're listening live on 95 to 1 FM, 1080 KYMN Radio, thank you. If you're listening after the fact when we haven't aired live like we are right now, you've probably caught us on our website, ontapnorfield.com, or through various podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Blair FM, iHeartRadio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're everywhere. We're omnipresent. We are everywhere. Speaking of being everywhere, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just search for us for On Tap Norfield. We should come up on all three of those platforms. We post photos and videos and updates, and we share shows. And on Facebook, we show who's coming up on our shows. And we got a pretty good fall lineup coming up. We're finishing up some final details for mid to late fall into the winter. We've got some ideas that are percolating, and we need to finalize what we're doing. But that's a good place to keep your eye on just to see what's coming up. As Ira said, we've got a good conversation come up down in Rochester, just a little trek down the way. We've got four good chats coming up, so stick around for that.
And now time for Beers of the Week, brought to us today by Firehouse Liquor of Dundas. Our first offering is out of a little-known brewery out of Boston, Samuel Adams.
Microbrewery, right?
Yeah, microbrewery, of course.
Which one
yeah.
was that again before I cut you off?
A little-known microbrewery out of Boston, Samuel Adams.
Just a guy with a dream.
Yep. Kind of hanging in there out there in Boston, barely surviving. No, actually, this is a tried-and-true beer here. This is their Oktoberfest because, while it may not look like it outside lately, you know, with the constant heat that keeps coming and stuff, fall is around the corner, and so we're starting to talk a little bit of these the Marzens and some of the other fall beers. And so this is your nice traditional Marzen beer, as they call it, hearty and smooth, and it definitely is that. It's just a good, easy drinking fall beer. I definitely love this one. It's only 5.3%, 16 IBU, just a good Marzen lager. Hats off to them, because you know, sometimes you just got to go to a good traditional beer.
Well, like we talked about at the top of the show with Summit's Oktoberfest and Cranky Woodsman, it's that time of year. It's August, yes, but it's that time of year because this is when people are starting to look out for these types of beers. And like Summit, Sam Adams Oktoberfest has a long tradition in my fridge. I'm proud to say I was introduced really to the craft world through Samuel Adams, and I know a lot of people have torn feelings about their placement in the world now, if they're really, you know, craft and independent, all that stuff. But they'll always have a place in my heart because I drank a lot of Sam Adams in college and a lot of Sam Adams following college and stuck with a lot of their new offerings for a long time until they started doing a lot of new stuff. And obviously they still have a lot of their old traditional beers, the Boston Lager, the Oktoberfest, and they're good and they're solid. And I definitely love an Oktoberfest. I used to buy variety packs from them nonstop. And, you know, once we kind of had that local boom, kind of transitioned over to the local support, but I still love to have a Sam Adams every once in a while. And this is, like you said, a nice classic Marzen recipe. And it's just got that nice subtle sweetness to it and very malty, like it should be as a Marzen lager. So cheers to this outstanding Oktoberfest. And hopefully people are willing to give it, you know, a shot if they haven't, or go back to it once in a while. Just give it a try. I know we've got a lot of great local offerings, but Samuel Adams deserves, you know, a little attention once in a while.
Yep.
It's okay to like a big guy. And our other offering is a little more local and maybe not quite as big as Sam Adams. It's Badger Hill Brewing's Banana Stand Hefeweizen. Now, before I get into the spirit, Ira, I want to know if you know. Do you understand the reference, Banana Stand Hefeweizen? It's okay if you don't. It's from a small show with a cult following.
I'm not sure.
It's an Arrested Development reference. So, you know, longtime Fox show. Well, not long time. It was a 3-season Fox show back in the early aughts, brought back by Netflix here a couple years ago. Now since had 2 seasons. So it's a reference to Arrested Development. At least I assume it is. That's my working knowledge of the term banana stand. But it's, as you would recall, banana stand, banana is really a good flavor profile of a Hefeweizen. A lot of people get that clove, banana clove flavor out of it. And this is a nice beer. It's a well-done ester-driven Hefeweizen. And this is part of their small batch series. So this is a limited edition beer, of course. It has the number one printed right on the side of it. And it comes in at 5%. And it's a nice beer. I know they've had this in the tap room quite a while. I didn't know they actually had it on distribution, so I'm thankful Sean sent this over here, because I've seen them advertise this for Taproom Pleasure, and I haven't had the opportunity to go there and try it, so I'm actually really excited to have this, and I enjoy it quite a bit. It's a home run for me.
No, I definitely find this one interesting. Definitely that earthy, banana-y, obviously what's coming from a Hefeweizen. I don't mind it. Probably not one that I'm going to reach for. You know, that's just being my palate. I just don't really kind of crave these kind of beers and stuff. But
it's palate preference.
Yeah. You know, and hey, hats off to them. I'm glad to see where they're starting to do brewer's batches, you know, so we're going to start seeing, you know, out in stores, not just in a tap room, but a chance to try some of their other beers and stuff. No, I think it's definitely a good beer. Might not be in my wheelhouse, but overall, I think it's pretty good. And if you want to try either of these beers or any of the other beers we've talked about on previous shows, they could be conveniently found south on Highway 3 in Dundas.
Look for the fire truck. All right, we're hanging out now with Brandon, co-owner and head brewer of LTS Brewing, the nice host of today's event, the Cakes and Barrels Festival. Brandon, how's it going?
It's going well.
Appreciate you having us back again. This is the second annual Cakes and Barrels Festival to honor and celebrate the Paws and Claws Humane Society just across the road, right?
Yeah, they're just across the road from us, and they're one of our chosen charities here at LTS.
So we were here last year, and you guys invited us, and somehow we came back. I don't know why we got invited back.
Yeah, welcome back, guys.
Because we listen to ourselves talk all the time. Like, hey, they want us back. We might as well go. No. So thank you. Obviously, the format switched up this year. Last year, we did the panel. We thought this time we'd give a little more one-on-one time and talk specifically more about the beer and kind of what you guys are doing in each specific place. But let's do a quick rundown of today's events. You guys are obviously the host. You guys have a great, big, beautiful space out here where you have the opportunity to invite a lot of people in, have different food trucks and a place for musicians and animals to be pet and all those things.
Yeah, so this is something we tried the first time last year, and it went fairly well, but you always learn every year when you do new things. So this year, it's the same 4 main players. We have Kenny Creek, we have LTS, Grand Rounds, and Four Daughters, which is a winery that makes cider as well, the Loon Juice Cider.
Those and three breweries are all in Rochester, and
correct.
And $4 just south of Rochester. Correct.
Yep. Yeah. So the same main players as last year, kind of the same format. This year we're doing just a couple bands. Last year we tried to do a little bit more music, and it was kind of chaos. Yeah. But the whole festival brings in the local food trucks, the 4 main breweries, and then as well we're having bands. So we have 2 bands tonight, and try to set up our whole parking lot like a festival, bring in the food trucks, bring in everybody, and hopefully we can make some money for Paws and Claws, which is our local Humane Society. Our taproom manager here is a volunteer down there, and so we've coordinated with them on a number of different charity events that we've done in town, but this is our biggest one that we hope to really bring in some money for them.
Yeah, it's a wonderful event. It's a great opportunity, though, also for each brewery and the winery and cidery to showcase what you guys have to offer. You bring in an audience that maybe hasn't been to each of the places or experienced your product elsewhere. This is an opportunity for you guys to shine. What do you have on tap today? What do you guys have? Obviously, we're sitting inside the building right now, which I'm guessing gives us full access to everything. But you got the tent out there, I'm guessing, with some stuff that's you pick specifically for those who don't wander in here eventually.
Right.
What do you have on tap today for folks, and what can they get if they come down here next weekend or on Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day it may be?
So today we have, obviously, our regular flagship beers that we have on tap. We have four special beers that we are serving here in the tap room that are infusions. They probably won't be around next week, but we brought out some stuff we saved for the last year, you know, some of it 6 months plus that we've been aging and brought out. I don't know how much that will be around next week, but we did release a couple beers today. We released a Saison that I brew. I used to brew it as a regular beer, and we had it on tap the first year we were open. This is our third year, just had our third anniversary here at LTS.
Congratulations.
And I brewed that Saison de Vie, which is a kind of stronger 7.5% Belgian-style Saison. And then we also have the Berliner Weiss. We've had a Berliner Weiss on tap all summer, fruited, re-fermented on fruit Berliner Weiss. And we just tapped today the Pineapple Passion Fruit Berliner. So that's what we have right now.
And that's what we have in our hands right now. You want to talk a little bit about this? Because this is a nice put-together beer.
Very good beer.
Yeah, so this is a pretty simple beer. It's about 50% white wheat malt, 50% Weyermann Pils malt, standard Berliner Weiss. We kettle sour this one, so it's not an extended age sour beer, but it's a kettle sour beer. And once it's fermented with a German ale yeast, and once it's done with that, we re-ferment it on Oregon Fruit Puree product, which we did a blend of pineapple and passion fruit puree for this. It turned out pretty tart. It's got pretty awesome aroma. It's really tropical. I think it's pretty good.
I would concur with that. We've talked on the show quite a bit that we're not huge sour guys. We've been warming up to them. We always like talking about the distinction between, I guess, what you'd call the traditional sours and the kettle sours. And that's not to say one's better than the other, obviously, because kettle sours are pretty darn popular, and there's a reason why. There's great flavor in there. You can do that in a quicker amount of time. It doesn't have to have that full depth of wood character in there or anything like that. This can offer a lot, and yours does.
Yeah, I mean, we're working on a sour program here. Traditional, barrel-aged sour program here.
Cool.
Just starting work on that with my taproom manager, actually. I would be really sad if we put all that time and effort into a sour beer and then covered it up with this much fruit.
Sure.
I mean, this beer is for a different audience than that. But, I mean, I enjoy all of those. But, you're not getting any of the extended aging Pediococcus and Britannomyces that you get in a barrel or oak, because there's no oak on this one. So they're definitely a different beer, probably more for a different audience, but, we're trying to get into both sides of that.
But you say a different audience, but that's an expanding audience. I mean, it's there, so I'm guessing that's part of the reason why you brew it, but I'm guessing you like it too. And that's the great thing about beer is that there's a lot of different palates out there, a lot of different styles that can be fed to people to at least experiment with and try. It doesn't mean they have to buy into it and think that's the greatest beer ever, but... it exposes them, and that's all this is about, right? Experiencing different flavors.
It really is. I mean, our traditional audience here at LTS, we make a lot of approachable beers, so we have a lot of people who come in for beer-flavored beer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you give them something that tastes like we've had on all summer our strawberry wheat. We're out of that right now. But you give them something that tastes like strawberries or something that mm-hmm. tastes like a sour beer, and they're like, this is not beer. I mean, they're here for a more traditional, maybe European-style beer, And so for us, it really is to broaden our horizons and broaden our audience. Some of those people, I don't know how many people I've had tell me, I never liked Belgian beers, but I tried one of yours and I like it. I've never liked this Saison, but I tried yours and I like it. And I think, you know, you don't get the crazy hype around the beer when you make an approachable beer like that, but you do build an audience of people who you know, are appreciating craft beer and maybe didn't before. You know, you're maybe two or three steps away from Coors Light with some of these people, and I really love the fact that they're coming out and they're expanding their own horizons, and we can, you know, play to that.
Well, this beer, I love the tartness to it, because and the sweetness comes through. One thing that you talked a little bit earlier about the actually you didn't talk about it on the interview, but before we were talking about the yeast you use due to the pH that it works at. I was going to say that I was expecting, because of especially the pineapple, I was expecting a little more acidity. Does that yeast and everything else kind of take away some of that kind of acidic stuff? I know it's tart, but at the same time, I don't feel like I'm getting a big acidic flavor to this. I'm loving this beer, so.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier to these guys that we use liquid ale yeasts, liquid strains that we buy for a number of our beers, and one of them is a German ale yeast that we get, and we use it in our Kolsch. And that yeast throws some honey flavors. And, you know, you taste our Kolsch, and some people think we put honey in it, and we don't. It's just coming from the yeast. That contributes to that kind of roundedness of the flavor and kind of cuts a little bit.
The acidic flavor.
And also the pineapple that we used will leave some residual sweetness just in the flavors that you get out of pineapple. Like, you don't actually taste sweetness, but your brain interprets it as sweet, and so it kind of cuts that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm loving this beer, and thanks for the description on that, too, by the way.
So I think my last question is, for those who come in who like the beer-flavored beer, and they come in and say, hey, this doesn't really taste like beer, does that kind of perk up your ears, and you come out and kind of explain the science behind beer? Does that give you an opportunity to educate?
Yeah, I mean, as often as I can, you know, whenever we're around.
You're not sitting at the bar just waiting for naysayers?
I'm here way more than my wife wants me to be, I guarantee that. But
well, that's the co-owner part of the title, right?
Exactly. But, you know, we do have a training program with our taproom attendants here where we take them through. A lot of them are certified beer servers, which is part of the Cicerone program.
Yep.
But beyond that, I do talk to them about the different beers and how the process and things that we go through and why we selected the blend of Paris we go through for this beer particularly. But, you know, they get some education. And, you know, sometimes you throw a lot at people and they don't, you know, they're like, I'm pouring beer, I don't have time to talk about it. That's understandable. But, you know, they're getting that and they're helping me to educate and to bring that knowledge about beer around to our customers here.
Well, education is a huge part of this equation. I mean, when you're talking about kettle sours or even, you know, Berliner Weiss or even like maybe a milkshake IPA or something, even a Belgian beer. I mean, if someone's used to drinking the Golden Light and all of a sudden you put in a Belgian IPA in front of them, it's not going to taste like beer to them. So I give you guys kudos for doing that training because I think that's a huge part. And I'd love to talk more about it. I know we've talked about maybe having you on the show eventually, and it'd be great to have the long-form interview with you. So, but we appreciate the time today talking just for a few minutes as, you know, you've got a busy festival and people are rolling in now. So thanks, Brandon, for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, we're catching up now with Aaron from Grand Rounds Brewing Company, the head brewer of Grand Rounds. How's it going, Aaron?
Pretty good today. How are you guys?
Doing well. We're sipping on a couple beers here. We're going back and forth, as you're prone to do at a beer festival.
But of course.
We've got one delicious beer here from you that you've brewed with your own hands as a head janitor, right? Is that the way
yep.
you put it?
Yep. I'll be the head janitor today.
Working your way up.
Yeah.
So, obviously, a great event. We've got the three breweries in town and $4 Winery coming together for the second annual Kegs and Barrels Festival. What do you guys have here today? And let people know what that is, but also assuming, hopefully, all the beer that's here today, they can also get in the tap room here in Rochester.
Yep. So today we brought along we have four IPAs. We have a mango milkshake IPA, a West Coast IPA called Mo Citra, Mo Problems.
Yep. All my favorite. I love that one.
It's really nice.
It's a nice beer.
Session beer, or session IPA called the Hot Bollocks. And then I just tapped our Northeast style Beer J today. So that's nice and fresh coming. We also have a sour Berliner Weiss. We put 168 pounds of cranberry puree into it.
Wow.
And then we have our Scotch Ale and our Easy A Blonde with us today.
So for those listening who don't have a good brewing background, when you say 160 pounds of cranberries, I mean, when that comes through on the beer, and obviously it matters when you put it into the beer and all that, but is that a pretty prominent flavor? Is it more subtle? Was that, we don't have that one in front of us, but for people listening, when you 160 pounds sounds like a tremendous amount of...
It's a lot, yeah.
Yep. Adjectives in there.
We used to do 128 pounds, and then we might add a little extract to boost the flavor. I got rid of the extract and I went for another 42 pound box to make it 168 pounds total fruit.
So I think it's whole fruit, right? You put it
all in? Puree. Okay. We do it right in our fermenter, day four and then day eight in fermentation.
Okay.
That's what we do.
And you had the same approach here with the milkshake. Yep. We're sipping on the mango milkshake IPA,
right? Yeah,
this
is the we usually did a strawberry milkshake IPA. This is the first mango one we did. I thought it would be mango's a little bit sweeter than a strawberry, so I think it would play better with it. Yeah.
So is this a temporary beer, or is it going to stick around? Is this something people can come check out?
Yep. So this will. I plan on always having a milkshake on now. Usually we would wait about a month in between. If we kicked it, you know, we'd wait a month till we brewed it. But it moves so fast, especially now in the summer, that I'll keep making it as long as people keep drinking it.
And are you going to keep kind of change it around a little bit? You know, with mango this time, maybe something else another time.
Yep. So when I took over, I've done the same recipes we've had when I was the assistant, basically just to try to get them as best as possible as I could and make sure I could do them no matter what, no screw-ups or anything like that. And now, towards the end of this summer and the fall, you'll start seeing more beers that are my recipes and my little things on each of the beers that we have now.
Yeah, I want to talk about your vision a little bit and your history as a brewer, but before we do that, I do have a question about the mango milkshake. Again, for listeners who maybe aren't as well-vested in what recipes are and styles are, when we say milkshake IPA, I'm sure some people who maybe haven't experienced a milkshake IPA have one vision in their mind of what that actually looks like. Can you walk us through what the process is, like what it actually is in the end product as well, what we're tasting with the flavor?
Yeah, so the grain bill is pretty much a lot of wheat and oats.
It's a smoother grain.
The thickness from the oats that you'll get will also play with the thickness of the beer. The fruit, I've had milkshake IPAs with no fruit, and to me there's just something missing. You know, it's you got a vanilla milkshake, but there's a strong vanilla flavor. On the beers that don't have them, have the fruit, I think it's missing that. And then we do about a cup and a half of vanilla extract that we soak the vanilla beans in vodka and then we dump it in.
Oh, in vodka?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Just to pull that flavor out a little bit more?
Yeah.
Because there's a strong tie between vodka and vanilla, right? As someone who's not a distiller?
I think so.
Yeah. I can't say.
That's the way we did it when I was the assistant, and it worked really well. And I've seen other ways to do it. And you know, you can buy the extracts, the little vials that have vanilla extract in it, but it's just not the same thing as the real vanilla beans. I think
vanilla is expensive.
Yeah.
So you guys are breaking the bank to get the vanilla in, huh?
Yeah.
So I got the vodka added to it. Now, is there lactose involved in the milkshake IPAs?
Yep. So we do 50 pounds of lactose in our whirlpool. Soaks all it up and then gives it just a little bit creamier, thicker, a little sweeter.
So it's like a sweetness. So like if everyone has a milk stout or sweet stout, that's kind of what that sweet flavor is from, right?
Yeah. Yep.
All right, exactly. Cool. So you took over about a year ago, right? Adam Fredrickson was the head brewer.
Yep.
And he's left to do some other stuff. He's going to open his own brewery, but you've been in charge for a year.
Yeah.
You kind of alluded to kind of obviously using some of the recipes that came before you, whether him or the original brewer. But you've got some ideas of your own. Talk us through what you want to do with the brewing system and what you want to put out for product, but tell us a little bit also about your experience.
So my experience is pretty much a year and a half brewing. When I graduated high school in 2010, I lived up in the cities and went to school. 4-year school didn't work out for me.
Sure.
So I worked small jobs and everything like that. And my roommate actually was a home brewer. And so I started doing that with him. And I liked it a lot. And I took a 3-month online course at Siebel in Chicago.
It's kind of a big deal.
Liked
Siebel,
it. Yeah, I liked it even more. And then my brother actually was at a festival down here in Rochester, and Dakota County Technical College in Rosemont has a beer program.
Yep.
I signed up for that, and I went through the class, and I got my internship with Adam. And then they hired me on when I graduated last May as the assistant, and then I took over as the head brewer when Adam left.
I kind of wish that program had been there when I was going to DCTC.
I was just thinking that, too. Yeah. Yep. I mean, on the way down, we were talking about Mike Rowe and just the path for people in 4 years isn't necessarily cut out for everybody. There's a lot of different trades and jobs and careers, for that matter, and not everything has to have a piece of paper that says, hey, you spent $50,000 in 4 years with us. So that's cool to see it in practice. Obviously, a lot with brewers, we see that, although some have done that route and realize it's not the route for them.
Right.
So
right.
That's cool. So kudos to you for doing that and kind of embracing that passion and making it work for you. And seems like 15 months into it, it's working out okay.
Yeah, it's not a bad gig. I'm not unhappy with what I'm doing. I also plug the program. Pretty much everyone in my brew group is now working at a brewery in the cities as well. So the program's doing very, very well. A lot of people will find jobs right away. Just
probably helps. Helps that a brewery opens every 2 weeks, right?
Definitely doesn't.
The boom period kind of helps with that. But hopefully they've all got the good training you have, because I like what we're drinking here with the
very
Mingle IPA. Very, very, very well done.
I appreciate that.
So 15 months in, though, post-graduation, I mean, was it a little overwhelming to take over and say, hey, you're the guy, it all rests on your shoulders?
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. I was... I think the original plan was I was going to take over a little bit later, and it just got sped up, and Adam helped me along the way, which was nice of him, and I appreciate that a lot. And Forager guys have been really good to me, helping me out if I have questions or anything like that as well. Yeah.
So what's the future hold for Aaron Made Beer? You talked about that vision and what you want to bring to the table in the future. What are you looking at?
Yeah. I have a few ideas, and I'll... keep some of them in my back pocket, Grand Rounds has always had a staple since Steve started, scotch, Kolsch, coconut stout, and the Session IPA. I'd like to move away from some of those, maybe do a cream ale instead of a blonde ale, a couple more stouts, and then a few more IPAs. Sours for me are also, it's what I really like to drink. Right now for our customer base, the Berliner Weiss is very nice, and that is about as sour as I can go right now. Hopefully doing small batches and kind of bring people into different kinds as well.
Now, are you working with the kitchen for pairing stuff? Because I know that you guys sometimes, or at least in the past, were doing a little bit of food pairing kind of things within your own kitchen. Is that still continuing?
Yep. We're taking a little break from it right now. Probably get going again when our slow time starts in the fall and winter. Our head chef right now, Jeff Schwanker, me and him talk a lot about beers that I'm putting out and kind of ideas that he wants to do. I know we talked about doing like a simple taco, six tacos, six infused beers, something like that.
Okay, oh, cool.
Easy, simple, and delicious.
Yeah, that, you bring up a good point, Ira, that we didn't really talk about Grand Rounds as an entity. You want to just give people a quick 30-second elevator speech about who you guys are, where they can find you for those who aren't familiar with Grand Rounds?
Yep, so Grand Rounds is a brew pub. We have a full kitchen, and we have, I don't want to say a full bar, but we have vodka, whiskey, all that.
But more than just your own beer, like a lot of breweries. You guys are the brew pub model.
We're the brew pub model, exactly. So you can get wine there. We're located on Broadway and 3rd Street, right on the corner there next to Tap House. We also have Tessa's Office, which is kind of a wine and liquor shop connected onto us. You can go in and buy a bottle of wine and you can drink it out at the bar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's a good setup.
Yeah, it's not bad. It gives, gives people who aren't necessarily into beer an option to come there and drink and eat as well.
Is Thursdays on First still occurring? For how much longer is that going on for people maybe want to get down? That's a great way to go experience Rochester.
Yeah. I believe there's three left. It should end at the last Thursday in August.
Okay.
And we're out there every week. We usually put out four beers and kind of switches up depending on what I have in the cooler. And
Yeah, for those listening, Thursdays and Firsts is an absolutely great thing that Rochester happens, which is on Thursdays, obviously. Downtown Tuesdays. On First Street, they close off the street. They have live music. It starts early, too, if I remember right.
Yeah, like it's 11 to 8:30, I believe.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's a long, all-day thing.
People work in Rochester on Thursdays?
I mean, the lunch crowd will come down around noon and then stay till about
it's
two.
A big city though. Yeah. We should tell people it's 100,000 plus people, so there's a few people.
There's lots of live music. I forget who it was who puts out paella and stuff like that, and really good food. You can sample across the way. You know, Newt's is out there, and obviously you go right down the whole street, about four blocks long probably.
Yeah, it's close off. Pretty much First Avenue from Victoria's to Third Street.
Yeah, it's an absolute, you know, for those listening, it is really a great way to come down here. And of course, then expand out, you know, because you're only a block away from Grand Round at that point, or get in the car and drive a little bit out to the rest of the people here at the show.
Well, Aaron, we appreciate your time. Congratulations on the year in charge, and best of luck in the future. Thanks again.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, now we're catching up with Donovan, the head brewer and owner of Kinney Creek Brewery here in Rochester, also involved in today's event, was involved last year. Donovan, how's it going?
Very well. How about you?
I'm doing well. Nice to catch up with you again. Thanks for giving us time this year.
My pleasure.
I know last year you didn't leave very... No, I'm just joking. it's good to see you again. Yes. It's a great event. Nice weather. We're just kind of reminiscing about last year and how, you know, in the first hour we had a little weather, and today it looks pretty good so far.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. I mean, we're into the mid-80s, and the clouds are just giving us a little bit of break here in there, and we get a nice little wind coming through, so beer's cold, works out really
always
well.
Always helps, right, when it the does. Beer's a little chilled?
It does.
What's the response been like so far since you've been out there?
Really good. I mean, we're still in the first hour or so, you know, people are starting to funnel in, the music's starting to crank up, and it's a really good time out there.
So you've got, I think you had four beers out there today. Why don't you walk people through that and let them know what's available in the tap room if they want to come check you out after this airs.
Yeah, absolutely. So we brought the four beers that we brought today are here and at the tap room both. First one that has kind of been our staple since we opened is our Sunny Days. It's kind of a cross between a Stella and a Blue Moon. You basically have that weedy style, but we took the weed out.
For sure, yeah.
So it still has the coriander, orange, and honey in there. And from there, we also brought our Estupendo, which is a brand new beer. It's only been out about 2 weeks. It's a lime infusion, so it's kind of like a beer cocktail. The only alcohol in it is the beer itself. It's a lager, but it kind of comes across as a margarita-style beer. Really tart, real sweet. It's got the limes kind of coming forward on it.
Yeah, it's coming forward.
Yeah.
This is really... I'm enjoying it. Very citrusy, but I like lime, and it comes... Yeah, it's a big attack on the lime flavor.
And on a day like today, you know, when it's hot outside, the lime is really... That's the best.
No, it's very nice. And what's funny is, as you described the beers, I drank them in a different order.
Oh, really?
So I'm oddly... Oddly? I don't know. I'm hearing this, right?
Yep.
Audibly? There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. We've had a couple beers already today. I'm hearing this. I'm drinking, like... This doesn't match.
Oh, sure.
But no, they're both very tasty. So, and obviously both great for a day like today where, like you said, it's mid-80s.
It is fun. And, you know, we just had to bring it. The next one that I brought in for you guys, too, is our Minnesota Mild. It just came out today.
Which is exactly why I didn't line up the beer, right?
True.
what I'm hearing.
This event, we actually brought it out for the event. So it's not even on the tap room today, but it will be tomorrow. It's a very malty red, a little bit on the hop side, but not too big. You know, it's a little bit higher on the alcohol. It's about 6.5. But it kind of bridges that we're not quite into stout weather.
Yeah.
You know, but if you like something maltier or a little bit darker, that kind of hits that palate.
Nice maltiness, a little sweetness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I'm almost getting... Even though you're not doing it, I'm almost getting a whiskey barrel flavor from it. I'm not sure where I'm getting that from, but...
Oh, nope, I didn't. I miscorrected. The beers that you're drinking are the Winey Vixen. That's the next one.
Okay.
Yep, sorry.
So the fourth one, not the mild. Okay.
Yes. My fault.
It's still sweet, though.
Yes.
A little sweetness. I like it. All right.
But so, yeah, the fourth one is the Winey Vixen. This is a spontaneously fermented German red. We actually brewed 3 days in a row for that. And put it in a milk tank, let nature do its thing. We didn't pitch any yeast to it, and it took right off. I was hoping for something really dynamic, really sour, really over the top, and it was really mellow, which is great, but just not what I was looking for on the day. So then we put it in red wine barrels to kind of give it that little bit of sourness to it that you get. Mm-hmm. So you get a little bit of cranberry, a little bit of strawberry, a little bit of that white oak coming through. And, yeah, that's a nice summer beer, too.
It's easy drinking. I pick up that cranberry for sure. Yeah.
And it's a little bit low ABV. It's under 5%.
It's pleasant for sure.
Well, that makes sense because I'm picking up the oak barrel. I really think I'm picking up that winey oak barrel kind of flavor to this.
Sorry, I had your mind and your palate going two different directions.
Yes, you did.
Well, that's what I was saying when you were talking about the first two. I'm like, I thought you told me what these were, but I'm listening to descriptions. I was drinking them backwards. I'm like, so I'm trying to make sense of it.
Sure.
Regardless, though, I enjoyed both. So regardless of what you were saying.
Well, the Minnesota Mild and the Winey Vixen are very, very similar in color. So
okay. Well, and that's what's kind of fun about this. I mean, Ira just said he picked up more of the oak. I kind of felt the cranberries. And we were talking about this with Brandon a little bit earlier, that beer is really subjective. Like, what you appreciate, what you enjoy, but also what you pull from each beer that you have. You just mentioned about five different flavor profiles that could come potentially from the Minnesota Vixen. Is that what you called it?
Winey Vixen.
Winey Vixen, excuse me. And I picked out two for sure. Ira got one or two out of there, and they weren't the same. So that's what's kind of fun about this whole thing. It's an experiment every time you open your mouth and put something.
Everybody's palate is different. You know, you pick up different things. That's why people like fruit or don't like fruit or, you know, those type of scenarios, because your palate is completely, you know, one way or the other.
Well, let people know a little bit more about Kenny Creek Brewery. Where can they find you? How long have you guys been open? What do you have on tap usually? How big of a space? That kind of stuff.
So Kenny Creek Brewery, we started originally about it was August of 2009. It took us 2.5 years to get through a lot of the local...
Well, you're first in town, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of prohibition laws still in place in Rochester when we came in. So that took us about 2.5 years. We went through a couple locations, you know, just to make sure that we had the right spot. And we opened in December of 12. And we have a full tap room. It has just about, we're into about 70-ish people seating. And we got games and things so people can,
big,
you know,
Jenga and foosball. I mean, I've been there a time or two.
Yeah, we've got Connect Four and Jenga and we've got hook and washer on the wall and stuff like that. Just gives people something else to do while they're drinking a beer. And we've got 18 different beers on tap.
Wow.
So we have two non-alcoholic. We got a kombucha. We got a root beer. And then a wide variety of other different beers. Try to keep as many seasonals as we can. But, you know, that's, we have a lot of seasons in Minnesota, so it's...
What size system do you have?
Three barrel.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is our fourth system that we've had in the since we've been open. So, you know, we've kind of gone back to the drawing board a couple few times through the years, and, you know, we're pretty comfortable with our system now, and, you know, getting tanks in about every 6 months. So we're constantly growing, and it's been a lot of fun.
So at the 18, you said 18, right? 18 taps?
Correct, yep.
So are a lot of those your standard beers that you have, or are you mixing things up a lot, especially at the three-barrel capacity?
Well, we try to – the reason why we have so many is that we have a lot of local people that have their staples, like our Sunny Days or, you know, our Strong Ale or our Yellow Jacket Double IPA. And, you know, if we took those off tap, people would be screaming. So we tried to accommodate to have those beers at all the time, and – you know, along with the seasonals, it adds up pretty quick.
So it's a pretty good mix then of stuff that you want, you know, maybe half that you try to keep on all the time, then you kind of have fun with the other.
And, you know, we'll have
lineup
anywhere from 4 to 6 IPAs at a time, but on the same aspect.
Which is, that's
we'll
the always, market, right?
Yeah. And we'll have lights and darks and stuff like that to go with it. So,
well, one thing I want to point out is I think for, you know, the good number of years I've followed Minnesota breweries, and maybe this is the Minnesota homer in me saying this, you have one of my favorite logos. I mean, I think your logo is just great. With, you know, obviously, State of Minnesota is on there, so that's a pretty good start, right? But what you do with the imagery within that, I just really appreciate it. So
I just
want to hear a little bit more about the vision and idea behind that. Like, how did you land on what was involved in that logo? And maybe describe it for those who aren't familiar with
it. Sure.
Because you could probably do it better than I can.
Yeah, our logo is kind of a mixed breed between old school and new school. I mean, when we were starting up in 2009, there was less than 30 breweries in the state. And, you know, people haven't really started branding except for the big guys. So I wanted to have something that was, you know, tasteful and not like beer chugging, and something that was reminiscent to Minnesota. So we put Minnesota up front. I mean, that the state is right there. We found it on the Kinney Creek, so we have the creek line coming through in the middle of the state. You know, the hops and the barley are coming through on the logo. And then, you know, at the bottom we have a tap. So the water runs right through the tap into beer and it kind of brings it full circle for us. So they still kind of did that badge, kind of old Renaissance-y in a way, with the ribbon and things. But, you know, trying to get as creative as we could.
Well, well done. Thanks. Dom, and thanks for your time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Now we're catching up with Vicky, one of the co-owners of Four Dollars, who makes wine and cider here just south of Rochester. Vicky, how's it going?
It's going great. The event's going great, and we're excited to be here.
Pretty good crowd so far at your line?
Yeah, pretty good. They're coming in, trickling in, and I think by the end of the night we'll be full crowd. So
yeah, it's an interesting event. We just did All Pints North here a couple weeks ago, where it's a four-hour event, which is a pretty short event.
Short, yeah.
So you see that mad rush minute one.
Yes.
We're here, they kind of, you know, there's people waiting to get in, but it kind of slowly builds because this is like, I think, like a 8-hour event, 7-hour event. I mean, it's a long event.
Yeah, it is a long event. So I think as the night gets cooler and the bands get faster, I think we'll get a bigger crowd.
So other than the diehard few who know they're going to be here at 11 o'clock, they probably didn't show up at 3.
That's
so
right.
You kind of ease your way into the day, because that makes for a long day.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, we just came in and got you and brought you in, and you guys had a pretty good line, and it looks like you had a fun lineup. What did you guys bring today for all the consumers?
So we brought our Honeycrisp original loon juice. We brought our strawberry shandy and our sangria that's recently out in the past few months just for distribution. So that's been doing great for us. We brought some wine, too. We brought a few sweet ones because people like that on a hot day. Moscato, our Pinot Noir, our new vine coolers, which are also out for distribution.
Coolers, I like that.
Yeah.
Clever.
So, yeah, it's crazy because it's a full half a bottle in a can. So we always have to tell people, you can't just drink it like a beer because it's 12% alcohol.
Yeah. You know? Find a friend.
Yes, find a friend. So, that's what we brought.
It's
today.
Two glass nights.
Two glass, yes.
So the vine cooler is the equivalent to the crowler?
Yeah, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
Look at you guys. Good
analogy.
Just going wild. Well, we're sipping on the pink sangria. Why don't you walk us through this for our listeners? So you said it's out on the market now, so they can pick this up at their favorite liquor store.
It's in a 1,500-meter growler-type bottle. It's got a resealable lid. It's a lot of fruit flavors in there. I'm sure you can taste it while you're trying it. But it's our loon juice based with a lot of fruit. So I think originally I created the flavors, so I'm kind of excited about that. There's some pineapple, there's some vanilla, but really tropical and fruity for summer.
So for those who aren't liquor connoisseurs, when they think of sangria, how does this deviate from that? I mean, you're replicating the flavor, but obviously the ingredients are a little different.
Sure. We started with our Honeycrisp loon juice, and then we flavor it up with its natural flavors. We use real fruit, so it's not like we bring in unnatural things like some of those places do.
Like Corey and Ira.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great summer drink. So it's been doing great on the market.
Well, it's very tasty, and it comes in a nice glass today with a little ice and a nice little flag I like.
We always put cherries and little cherry juice in it, too. So.
But we should note that the flag you put in here, I'm guessing, was somewhat intentional. It does say USA Today's 10 Best Reader's Choice 2017, Best Winery Restaurant.
In
tell us about
whole
that.
The whole United States. So that was super exciting.
So you email it to your entire family and have them vote for you, or how's that work?
Yeah, I guess.
No,
but
I'm
we have a big
joking.
fan
yeah,
base.
There you go.
But we took third last year, and right now the contest is up again. And I don't know how they picked us out of the whole country, but they did. So we're right now number one.
Well, whether it's like five people in the back room or a popularity contest, either way, you guys are recognized.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty excited. When we're up against wineries in California and New York and Oregon.
That article came out last year around September, October, wasn't it?
Yeah,
because I remember it because we had just talked to you not long after that. All of a sudden that article came out, and it was really fun to read that.
Yeah.
I've had a chance to be down there, and I can absolutely understand why you'd get that award.
Thank
it's
you.
Absolutely a beautiful space. You know, you have a large space down there, too.
We
I was
do,
really
yeah.
surprised because as we pull in, I've been to a few wineries, and more often than not, you know, it's a nice, quaint little setting, and you get a chance to try a couple other things. You have a lot of space, a lot of food, you know.
Thank you.
And at that time, and I brought this up last year, but I have, my daughter loves the Loon Juice. Mm-hmm. It's one of her favorites, and we didn't realize that was the origin of it. So we were really excited when we were there and, like, you know, picked up a six-pack to bring back to her and stuff. But you have a space that I can easily understand why you'd win awards for
that. Thank you. That's really thoughtful of you. Speaking of the Loon Juice, though, people come in all the time and say, oh, well, you guys don't make this. You bring it in, right? It's made up in the cities. Like, no, it's made here. So that's always a funny discovery
private
for
label,
people.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think Ira brings up a good point that people probably know you by the Loon Juice label. You guys are kind of ubiquitous now with cider in Minnesota,
sure.
Both for quality, but just also we seem to find you a lot of places, which is good, right?
That's both great, for, yes. Both we're for happy you, for but, that, yeah.
Yeah, both for you and the consumer.
Right.
But Ira, like you said, people can come to you and visit you, and it's not just your cider and your wine, but you have food as well.
Yeah, we do have a full restaurant. We have a lot of great events. We have our Grape Stomp coming up here in, it's always the second weekend in September. So we get a big crowd for that, people stomping grapes and trying
their
to get as much
feet
juice
all
as they
over
can.
Your grapes?
That's right.
Well, there's a cleansing process, right? Both for the feet and the grapes?
Yeah. We don't actually drink that juice, but it's fun for them to create it.
Well, and again, I said this last year, but I told you this before, but I think I probably had my favorite wine sampling of all time there. Because the way you laid it out, which was every wine coming out with a little circle, and the person just walked you through everything right up front, didn't make you wait to finish one to whatever else, really talked about each one, took the time to talk about all the different wines of the flight, but then at the same time kind of left you to your then time to sit there and drink them and enjoy them. So my wife and I were able to sit there and go, oh, okay, you know, and talk about them and stuff. And I really liked the fact that they were all present at one point. I wasn't being, I don't want to say
you're
forced down a roadmap.
Yeah,
it was just kind of like, the person took a lot of time to really explain everything, but then left you alone to sit there and enjoy it. And didn't feel like you were waiting for them to come back to talk about wine too, or they were waiting for you to finish it or whatever it may be. So I really did enjoy that aspect of it because I got a chance to really enjoy your wines at my own pace. So again, I had a great visit, obviously.
That's part of our hopeful experience that we create for everyone. We want them to come in, feel welcome, do what they want to do at their own schedule and enjoy everything we have to offer. So,
and when they visit you, what can they expect to offer? Do you guys have a pretty rotating list, or is it standard varietal list?
We've got four tasting sheets right now. So you can taste all the Loon Juice flavors, all of our sparkling flavors, which we're kind of excited about, and then a red tasting and a white tasting. So there are a lot of options. And a lot of people come in and do one of each, or, you know, couples do one of each so they can share, and it's easy to share those tastings. But, yeah, food, they can get whatever they want. Patio is always full. I just called today. They're having a great day down there. So,
is there a different schedule for food than there is for tasting?
No, we can do food and tasting whenever anyone comes, any of our open hours. So
when can folks come or go?
Most days from – we open every day at 11. Weekends, we stay up until 9. Weekdays are 8, but we've got a full, we have bands coming in too, Friday and Saturday night. So,
and from Rochester proper, where should people head to find you?
Straight south on 63, straight south. Run right into us, yeah.
And a good website to find any information on?
We sure do. We have a lot of information on there, a lot about our events on there too, so they can find anything they need. They can find us on Facebook too.
Is it like $4.com?
Yes. I think it is. All they have to do is Google Four Daughters.
We'll cut that out.
Yeah, they just have to Google us, and we come right up first. So,
well, thanks for your time, Vicki.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
It's been fun day. Fun day.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Andrew Burns, and for this style of the week, we're going to go funky. We're talking about a Brett IPA. No, it's not named after a person named Brett. It's named after a type of yeast called Brettanomyces. Sour beer fans will be intimately familiar with Brett, but don't be confused about a Brett IPA. A Brett IPA is not actually sour. The thing about Brett is it doesn't actually make beer sour. It instead creates all of the funky, wild flavors that you get from sour beer. So that's anything from funky spoiled fruit to fresh cut grass to a sweaty horse blanket. I know it sounds gross, but you'll love it if you try it. Well, what a Brett IPA is just a regular American IPA that has had Brettanomyces, this wild yeast, added to it. So instead of turning the beer sour, what it does is it creates a funky, funky palette of flavors to go along with the American hops. So this is another example of American brewers experimenting by mashing styles together. You get the hoppiness and the bitterness of an American IPA, plus all the funky, wild, fermented flavors from that Brettanomyces.
That's going to be a wrap on this show. Thanks to the folks at the Kegs and Barrel Festival for hosting us. Thank you, everyone involved in including us in that this year, and for everyone who gave us a little time. It was definitely a fun format this year. Last year, we did the panel where we had six of us sit down, and everyone kind of had to take their turn. We kind of made our way around the table, and this time, we had the opportunity to talk more one-on-one and kind of get more in-depth with each person in about a 10-minute segment. I thought it went well. What'd you think, Ira?
Oh, I definitely liked it. I mean, you get a chance to, you know, talk a little bit more about, you know, each one's approach for that day. Obviously, meet Aaron, new brewer over at Grand Rounds. So, kind of have a chance to just catch up with everyone. So, definitely a nice way to do it.
Yeah, new-ish. He's been there a year. We just haven't had a chance to talk to him. So, that's what another cool thing about these events is you get to meet up with people and meet new people, kind of reacquaint yourself with others. So, fun event. Hopefully, it was a big day for Paws and Claws Humane Society. A lot of money was raised, and you know, there's quite a few people coming and going. It was a long event, 3 into the night, 10-11 o'clock, so they probably had a lot of fun all night. We were out there, you know, mid-evening. We had some other responsibilities to take care of, so we got out of there. So once again, thanks to all those who were participating in this and helping us get down there. Our next show is with Lost Sanity Brewing on September 2nd, 11 a.m here on KYMN Radio 1080 or 95.1 the FM. Lost Sanity is in Medelia, Minnesota, so what, west-southwest of Mankato, roughly? You've been there, was it about 20 miles from there?
Oh, yeah, no, it's only about 15, 20 minutes out of Mankato, and it's right downtown, a beautiful little location, right in the heart of Medelia, I should say, or at least I assume so. I've only been there once to Medelia, and that was to visit the brewery, so definitely looking forward to seeing how they're doing. That was shortly after they were open, so look forward to hearing how they're doing now that they've been open for a while, and maybe you see what kind of beers they bring us.
Yeah, recently open brewery, so they've only been open a few months, so it's always fun to talk to folks after that kind of a initial few month rush of getting acclimated with everything, with the business, with the customers, with the demand. So it'll be kind of fun catching up. We haven't done a show like that in quite a while where we've had like such a new brewery. We had Spiral on not too long ago, but they had been open for a good bit by then. So let's look forward to that show. You can listen again on radio, or you can catch us online after the fact at ontapnorfield.com or on podcast platforms like Stitcher, Player FM, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, anywhere, everywhere, we're there. I kind of like that. We should do that. We should use that as a tagline. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search for ONTAP Norfield. We should come up on all of those platforms where you can find photos and videos and updates of what we're doing, what we're drinking, who we're hanging out with, all sorts of fun things like that. And then on Facebook, there's a good opportunity to see what shows we have coming up. It's built out through the end of September. We're, again, discussing kind of what's going to transpire over the late fall into the winter. So stay tuned. Facebook is a good place to see what's coming up there. That's going to be it for today. Cheers.
Cheers.